invite your attention to the reading of our scripture, first in the Gospel of Luke and second in the Gospel of Mark. The first passage is Luke, the second chapter, the first verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Then in the Gospel of Mark, the sixth chapter, begin reading with the 45th verse, an incident in the life of Jesus that took place during the middle of his public ministry, but one that is very important for our consideration today. 45th verse. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethesda while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him, and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we continue in Advent. The glorious time of the year when our hearts are warmed and we are drawn to the Lord in fresh and wonderful ways. In reality, Advent properly understood has three dimensions: the past, the present, and the future. The past, Christ's historic coming to Israel at Bethlehem. The present, his constant coming to you and me in the here and the now. And the future, his final coming to all of the world at the end of the age. Well, this morning, I want us to concentrate on the advent of Jesus in the here and the now as he comes to meet you and me in life and minister to us his grace and his provision. You know, this one who is so familiar, but so often seems as a stranger to so many of us. This one who comes to us in unexpected times and in unexpected places. You see, Jesus keeps turning up when we least expect him. That's the way he came the first time. With a little historical imagination, I think you would be able to see how it took place. Imagine for a moment that you are living 2,000 years ago in the city of Nazareth. Let us understand what was taking place in that day. Word had spread through every street of Nazareth of a new order from Caesar. Every person in his empire was to be counted. The word had an ominous sound in Israel, for they had an almost superstitious aversion to being counted. But the order had come, an imperial command from Caesar. Every one of his subjects was to be counted. The most disturbing fact for Joseph was that it meant a long journey when he felt that he needed to be at Mary's side. "Not only you," said the elders of the synagogue, "but your wife must also go to be counted." "How can Mary go?" protests Joseph. "Don't they know she's going to have a baby?" "What do the Romans care about Jewish wives and babies?" the elders shrugged. They had to leave immediately to be in Bethlehem on the appointed day. And so Joseph and Mary began the long journey. At last they entered Bethlehem. The place was so crowded they could hardly move. And no one would listen to Joseph when he asked for a room. 5 hotels he had tried, and all of them were full. But Joseph kept on doggedly. And then he pressed his way through the door of the last hotel and asked to see the manager. "My wife is ill," pleaded Joseph. "Her baby is about to be born." The innkeeper was a stout and grumpy man with an enormous stomach. With his hands clasped behind him, he gaped at them. For a moment he said nothing, and then he shouted, "Sarah!" His wife came scuffling in from the back of the house. "What do you want?" she asked. "Look at this woman. Is she having a baby now, or is this a scheme to get a room?" Sarah looked for a moment and announced, "She's having a baby now. I know I've had 8. "But don't you understand," growled Sarah, "the place is full. All Bethlehem is full. There's not a room in town." "But she can't have the baby on the floor, Gabriel. We've got to do something." "Wait, there is one place we have not put anyone yet." "Where? Just where?" demanded Gabriel. "In the stable," answered Sarah. And so Joseph and Mary found lodging. Jesus was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. Yes, Jesus keeps turning up in unexpected times and unexpected places. Surely he did in that day. I'm absolutely convinced that the people of Bethlehem knew who he was, and when he was coming, there would have been room for him in the end. But isn't that true to life? Doesn't Jesus come to you and me today at times that we do not expect him? Because we don't expect him, we really don't recognize him. The fact is, he often does not come when we expect him to or want him to. And when he does come, many times that it is a form that we don't recognize. You know, Jesus did that all through his public ministry. One time he did it is so outstanding it stands above all of the rest. We read about it as a part of our scripture this morning. Jesus had finished teaching the people, and he sent his disciples away while he dismissed the people, and then he went into the mountains to pray. While Jesus was in the mountain praying, the disciples were rowing that boat across the Sea of Galilee. Early the next morning, before dawn, a storm arose. The winds were howling, the waves were boisterous, the boat was about to sink, and the disciples were in desperate circumstances. Jesus from the mountain saw what was taking place with the boat, and he came to these disciples walking on the water. Man, when they saw him coming, they were terrified. Either they didn't recognize him, or they did not believe that it could be he, and in reality they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus identified himself, they received him into the boat, and the storm died to calm. Now, in the light of that, there are two or three things I would like to say to you this morning about Jesus coming to you and me in the here and the now. The first point I want to make is this, that Jesus comes to us when we least expect him. That was true for those disciples in the middle of that storm. I have a feeling that the last person in the world they expected to see was Jesus. And when they did see him, they were terrified. You see, because they did not expect him to come, when he did come, they didn't recognize him. In fact, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Let me ask you a question. Do you always recognize Jesus when he breaks into your life? The fact of the matter is, most of the time, we are so preoccupied with ourselves, with our troubles, with our hurts, with our disappointments, with our anxieties, that when he does come to us, we do not recognize him. 2 or 3 years ago, Gene and I went through an experience of a hurricane. His name was Hugo. An amusing story came out of that storm about a man who was trapped when the fury of the hurricane broke. He was not a man that had been given to much prayer, but at that time he decided he probably ought to learn how, and he turned to God and prayed earnestly that God would deliver him and save him. And ultimately, the Coast Guard rescued him. Later on, he was sharing with some people about his experience, and someone asked him if God had answered his prayer. And he said, "Oh no, it was the Coast Guard that found me." Isn't that true to life? See, Jesus comes to us at times that we do not recognize him because we're not expecting him to come. But let me remind you that he is not some historical figure. He is not a person who is locked into time some 2,000 years ago. It's right in the midst of the storms of life that he makes his advent. He comes to us across that troubled waters. And he comes to get into our boat. And he turns that storm into peace. He comes. But many times we don't recognize him when he's standing there. We ought to learn to do that. The second point I want to make is this. Jesus comes to us when we need him the most. Now, that's been the experience of God's people right along. I think of Peter after the resurrection. You know, Peter had made that tremendous statement of faith. And he had made a commitment to follow Jesus even to death. And then when the test came a few days later, he denied three times that he even knew his name. The shame, the guilt, the agony of what he had done was about to sink him until Jesus met him on the shores of Galilee and spoke words of forgiveness and restored him. I think of the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. For all that the Lord had done through Paul, he met unbelievable opposition as he preached the gospel and established the church. He was beaten and stoned. He was cast into prison. He was left for dead. They complained about him. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. And Paul came to the place that he was ready to quit. He wanted to throw in the towel. The record tells us that he was leaving one town on that occasion, that he shook the dust off of his feet. And he said, "Your blood be on your own head. I'm clean. I'm going to the Gentiles." Jesus met him in the midst of that storm, and he spoke. "Paul, do not be afraid. Speak and do not be silent. I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. I have many people in this place." Or here in the story of our scripture, the disciples out on a lake in a violent storm. They're at the end of their rope. They're about to sink. They don't know what to do. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. He steps into the boat, and the storm becomes calm. The story is told that Dr. William Barclay, a noted British biblical scholar, was writing a commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. And when he came to the story of Jesus walking to his disciples on the water, his own 19-year-old daughter was drowned in a boating accident. It took the rescuers weeks to find her body. And as the storm of adversity shook his soul, he wrote about this experience of Jesus coming to the disciples across that troubled water in this way. "It is the sign and symbol of what Jesus always does for his people when the winds are contrary and they are in danger of being overwhelmed by the storms of life." Has that ever happened to you? You see, Jesus comes to us when we need him the most. When we are struggling with life, when we are overwhelmed with temptations, when the weight of guilt and of shame and of discouragement threaten to sink us, when we want to throw in the towel and quit, he comes to touch us on the shoulder, to offer us his hand, to step in the boat with us. And every time he does it, the storm becomes calm. The third thing I would say to you is that when Jesus comes to us, He comes to love us and to provide for us. You see, it's because of His great love for us that He comes to minister His grace. He certainly did that for the disciples in the midst of the storm on that lake. According to Matthew's account of the story, when Jesus was in the mountains praying, He saw the boat being tossed in the storm, and He came to them walking on the water. When the disciples didn't recognize Him and they were gripped with fear, He spoke and revealed Himself. And a great burst of faith, Peter said, "Lord, if it is You, bid me come to You on the water." And when Jesus said, "Come," Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking to Jesus. But his faith was shaken when momentarily his attention was diverted by the wind and the waves, and he began sinking, and he cried out, "Jesus, save me." Jesus reached out His hand and rescued him. He got into the boat with him. The storm died to calm. You want to know something? He's doing that today for you and me. You remember what the prophet Isaiah had to say about the coming of this Messiah? Listen to what he said. "Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." And then he goes on to proclaim that when the Messiah comes, the rough places will be made smooth and the crooked places will be made plain, straight. See, he does that for us. When we are lost in a fog and we have no direction, He becomes our guide. When we are broken and beaten, He comes to restore us. When we carry a heavy burden of guilt, He comes to forgive us. When we are filled with resentment because we believe that other people have treated us unfairly, He gives us the grace to forgive. He is this familiar stranger. He comes in unexpected times and in unexpected places, but He always comes to love us and to provide for us. The question this morning for you is this: do you know Him? Do you recognize Him in your life so that when the storms are brewing around you, and He comes walking to you across that storm, you know that the Lord is there. And you come to receive the provision that He makes for you. If you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you can never have that experience. This morning, open your heart and invite the Lord Jesus to come in to be the Savior and the Lord of your life and to give you calm in the midst of the storm, and provide for you the wonder of His provision.